so that I can be here this evening to hear what you have to say. I praise you, Lord, that you've given me knowledge and wisdom that I can make my life better through your word. Thank you for letting me know these things. I praise you and I honor you, and I receive this knowledge with gratefulness, with gratitude, Father. It's not something I have to stop doing because it's wrong or bad, but because it's good for me. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've come to the fork in the road, or the famous Slauson cutoff. Yes. And you know what happens when we get to the Slauson cutoff. I needn't go in any great detail. Exodus 8:22. We've dealt with frogs and swarms of flies, and now God makes a distinction. Now it's time for his people to make a decision, and it is obvious that after the frogs and the swarms, some of the people in Egypt decided, this Moses guy must know what he's talking about. Because in verse 22 of chapter 8, God makes a distinction. He says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Now, if God says, "In that day I will sever the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there," it must have been that the frogs and the flies were on everybody up to that point. You see, some Christians are smarter than others. After frogs and flies, they say, "No, I think I'd rather live in the land of Goshen." Now, that would sound like a contradiction because we know that the people still lived in Egypt. It would seem that God is ahead of himself here, or lost the people, doesn't know where they're at. Until we look up the land of Goshen, and you'll find that the word Goshen means the residence of the Israelis in Egypt, but it also means the residence of the Israelis of Palestine. So you see, Goshen isn't a physical, geographical place. It's a place where the children of Israel live, whether they're in Egypt, in the wilderness, in Palestine, in the land of rest, it doesn't matter. He said, those that live in the land of Goshen, I'm going to make a distinction, I'll not allow flies in there. Now, if there's no flies in there, that means there's nothing dead. So he said, obviously here, that those that live, those that are of Israel, the children of Israel, wherever you live, that's the land of Goshen. Not the land of rest yet, but it is the land of Goshen. Now, we need to understand what God is saying here. He says, those of you who are the children of Israel will live in the land of Goshen. Now, to understand what the land of Goshen is and why it isn't geographical, understand that it's only where the children of Israel live. And Israel means he will rule as God. It means to prevail and have power as a prince. So wherever you're at can be the land of Goshen. Now, God still wants to move them from there, but in the meantime, while the rest of the dummies are being moved and Pharaoh's fighting, these people are ruling as God. Because Israel means he will rule as God, not as the spirit of anger. See, some of you want to rule as the spirit of anger. I'm mad at you because you didn't do this, or you because you did do that. And until you change, I'm angry at you. So I rule as the God of anger. Well, you're obviously not in the land of Goshen. You can't rule through anger, depression, criticism, or just plain pressure and rule as God. See, your problem is you want to rule, but you don't want to rule as God. For the simple reason that if you rule as God, God forgives and pays for what you did wrong to him. He pays for it. So you want to be God, but you're just not that God. Give me the one who has lightning bolts and a mighty scepter to whack you where the sun don't shine. See, people have God mistaken. He said, those of you that rule as God, those of you that live in the land of Goshen, those of you that prevail, those of you that have power as a prince, no flies, no difficulties. Why? Because you rule as God. And in order to know whether you're living in Goshen, you have, if you live there, you have power as a prince. Now the word power means to be able. It doesn't mean to do. It means to be able to do. Now understand what I'm saying here. It means to be able to do something. It means to have the ability to do, act, or produce. It doesn't mean to do, act, or produce. See, people don't know what power means. Just because you aren't able, just because you don't, just because you don't produce, you think you have no power to do so. When in reality, power only means the ability to do. It doesn't necessarily mean you're doing it. See, if you've got gas in the tank, you've got what it needs to produce the power in the engine. But if you don't turn it on, you got nothing there. It'll evaporate eventually. But you had the ability all the time, didn't you? You sat in the car wishing you could go somewhere, having the power to do it, having the gas in the tank, an engine under the hood, and the keys in your hand. And you still sit there like an idiot. But you're able. Power means the ability to do, to act, or to produce. Power means the ability to control. It means to have authority and influence and legal ability. But it does not mean you're going to do it. So you see, there's only two things that separate me from you or any Christian who does and those that do not. Those that use their power and those that don't. But everybody's got the power. Or God would be a respecter of persons. But you see, if we all have the power and power means to do it, then why aren't we all doing it? Because power doesn't mean to do it. It means to have the ability to do something. It means basically just ability. And ability means the power to do something physical or mental. But again, it doesn't mean you're going to do it. It just means you're lying when you say you can't. But ability also means skill, expertness, and talent. But again, it doesn't mean you're going to do it. There's people in this room that have talent to serve the Lord and don't. There's people in this room, in fact, everybody in this room, if you've been called to be a father, you have the ability, the skill, and the talent to do it, but you don't. Amen. You have the skill, the ability, and the talent to be a mother or whatever else God has called you to, but you don't. So you see, you have no power, or you do not exercise your power as a prince, yet God gave it to us all. But you see, Goshen or Israel means to rule as God, not to just have the ability to rule as God, but it means actually to rule as God. So you see, when your children say, I don't know how, they're lying just like you are. And let me tell you something. As long as you keep rewarding your children for lying to you, they're going to keep lying to you. I've long solved that problem in the home that the Lord has given me. I remember one day when someone told me, I don't know how to put the dishes away. Where do they go? Well, I said, well, I understand that completely. Please forgive me for not teaching you. So now take all the dishes down and put them up. They go here and I says, oh, this way. Wait a minute. Now take them down again and put them up again and take them down again and put them up again, and take them down again, and put them up again, and take them down again, and put them up again, down again. You know, sooner or later, and it was sooner, says, oh, I know how to do it. I just want to be sure. I don't want to make that mistake. Please forgive me. And anything else you don't know how to do, let me know, and we'll practice, practice, practice. Oh, you'd be amazed at the bolt of talent, the bolt of lightning that came from the Almighty God. And dishes were everywhere, and everything's put in its place because they don't want to practice. See, if you don't agree with me, I'll agree with you. You need practice. So let's put them up and take them down until you got it right. And if I have to go out and buy some more dishes, I'll go out and buy more dishes. But I'll tell you one thing, you're going to know how to put them away by your own admission. You're going to say, I know how. Please, I know how. I really know how to. In fact, I could give classes on putting away dishes. Well, we're finally in agreement then. I'm not going to argue and fight with you. If you don't agree with me, child, I'll agree with you. This is stupid to have this constant confrontation. Well, I don't know how to figure out this problem. I'll be right back. And I'll come back with tablets and pens. And we'll take that one problem and you'll figure it out and give me the right answer. Then you'll write it again and again and again. Remember in school you had to write on the board 10,000 times, I will no longer be a jerk? Amen. That works. That works.
Yes, it does.
Now, when they do that one problem about 1,000 times, they know how to do that problem. How long do you think it'll be before they come to you again and say, I don't know how to do this one either? But I'll tell you one thing. If they honestly don't know how, they will come and ask you. But they won't pull your leg anymore. See, you have the ability to do this already. The problem is, you are demonstrating to your children a weakness and a lack of desire to use the talent and ability that God gave you, and then you get upset when your children pick up the ball and do exactly the same thing. So as a result, nobody rules as a prince. Nobody has the ability or the talent. But you see, God gives all the ability, but all do not use their ability. Why? Because they act like children. See, children will not use their ability unless it's something they want. Now, put on your shoes. Huh? Shoes, what's those things with the laces on them? Oh, these, yes. Put them on. Where? On your feet. Feet, what's feet? This over here, and they put them on backwards on him, on purpose, don't they? So hard for them to do something. But then you say, we're going to watch television. Mom, can I record such and such a program? Oh, yes. You'll have to program the TV, though, or the VCR. Boy, and they've got the book. I say, oh, yes, you punch this in, and you do this, and you do that, and they got that sucker programmed. But they can't put the shoes on. Now, here is what amazes me. You're too dumb to see that, parents. What do they always say? I forgot. I told you that I forgot. And you buy it. Now, you wait. And you'll say, 3 weeks from now, we're going to go out camping or we're going to go to Universal Studios or wherever. Every day for thereafter, every week. Remember you said, is it that time, Ed? And they remember everything. You said 3 weeks ago, as we were eating and you were wearing brown shoes, and we were eating tacos that day, and you said that I could do this. Boy, they remember that, don't they? But you tell them, do this, and they say, huh? I forgot. Within 1 minute. And you buy it. That's the sad. See, I don't fault the children for doing it. I fault you because it works. fact of the matter is, you have power as a prince. And God said, look, in that day, I'm going to make a distinction. I'm going to separate so that you'll know who's using their power and who isn't. Now understand, flies still come around me, but they can't stay. We think, I have no problems. I have problems just like you, but I've got the answers now. It's not that I lack problems. I just have the answers. And he says, all those that have power as a prince, that rule as God, they'll have no flies. Now this word prince is very important, because it means a ruler whose rank is below that of a king. And that's what you hate. Prince means a non-reigning male member of a royal family, a preeminent person. So in other words, God says, look, I cannot use a person for anything who isn't ruling and has power as a prince. I cannot. That's the rules. He can't do it. Understand this. God cannot use you if you do not have power as a prince. Now, God has a real problem here, because all of the nation of Israel is a bunch of slaves who don't know what they're doing. They have no power. Now, God has a rule. He says, I can only use you if you have power as a prince. How is he going to solve this problem? I'll just read this to you in Exodus 2:10. And the child grew, meaning Moses, and she brought him unto Pharaoh, unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, if Pharaoh's daughter calls Moses son, what does that make him in Egypt? A prince. So now he has power as a prince. Why did God pick Moses? Because he was cute? Why did God pick Moses? Because the name sounds good? Because he had power as a prince. But you see, it wasn't even spiritual power. Moses didn't even know. You see how smart God is? But do you also see how true and loyal he is to his word? If he'd have picked anybody, and he could have, he'd have had to go against his word. He says, I can only use those that have power as a prince. So he set up the situation in such a way that the edict that Pharaoh made, which caused all the children, he says, I want all the children drowned. And Moses' mother put him in a little basket and put him in the bulrushes. And then Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him and made him her son, and then called Moses' mother to nurse him, and called Moses my son, which made him then a prince of Egypt. Now he has power as a prince. Now God can call him. You see how intricate that is, and what God goes through to be faithful to his word? Now if God would go through all of that to be faithful to his word, what do you think he's going to do when he said, I have given you all power and dominion? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. By your words you shall be justified. Wouldn't God be just as faithful to that part of his word as he was to this, when he says, I need someone who has power as a prince so that I can use them to alleviate and to bring my people out of bondage? So you see, that's why it's necessary that I do not give a damn what you think. That's why it is necessary that I have the power as a prince. I don't rule you. I'm a non-reigning member of a royal family. But I'm superior to you, spiritually. See, so it's necessary that you do not affect me. It is necessary that I stay above you, not only for my benefit, but for yours. Because the minute you can put me in the toilet, you've cut yourself off, because then God has no one to use. And that's the same thing that's wrong in your families, men. The minute you do not accept that you have the ability, the power as a prince, you're going in the toilet. And then you don't want to believe that I have the power, so you stay in the toilet. And there's nothing left to do but to pull the chain then. See how intricate this is? I love the Lord. Man, this man is so faithful. He is so true to his word. I can depend on him. If I can find it in there, it's as good as in the bank. Man, look what he went through to make sure that he would not. See, the devil's never going to point a finger at God and say, you broke your own rule. You said this and look what you did. God is faithful to every single comma in his word. How dare you say you can't? How dare you lie about him and steal from him, by the way? He paid for you and you refused to give him what he paid for. And all he's asking you to do is to exercise the power you already have. So he made Moses a prince. And he used Pharaoh to cut Pharaoh's throat. Pharaoh's the one that made the decision that led to the actions and the activities that turned Moses into a prince of Egypt, and then God could use him. Now, see, Pharaoh's dumb. You can't outthink God, even though you try. So now Moses has power as a prince in Egypt, and that's why he's called. Now what happens is interesting. In verse 23 of chapter 8, he said, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." In other words, what he's saying, there's going to be a division between those that believe me and follow me and those that believe Pharaoh, your habits, your flesh, your worry, your agitation, your addictions. He said, I'm going to put a division between you so that you will know which side of the fence you live on. Now, there's a gate. There's a door called Jesus Christ. But there's also a wall. Now, some of you have tried crawling over it. You can't. Some of you had tried walking around it, but it's a long, long wall. Amen. You're not going to walk around it. You're not going to dig under it. You're not going to crawl over it. If you're coming through, you're going through the door, Jesus Christ, through the truth. But he said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. And this is where Christians start bickering with one another. Because you see, they're all Christians. They all love the Lord. But he said, I'm going to put a division between them. Now, division doesn't mean fighting and bickering. You know what the word division means from the Hebrew? Distinction. I will put a distinction between my people and Pharaoh's people. But that's not all division means. It means three things: distinction, deliverance, and redemption. In other words, these three things will tell you which side of the wall you're living on. You will have distinction, deliverance, and redemption physically. Now, everybody in this room, as far as I know, are saved, so you all have distinction, deliverance, and redemption spiritually, but you'd be lying if you said you enjoyed it physically. So the three things that God puts between his people is, number one, distinction. Distinction means a difference. There's a difference between God's people and Pharaoh's people. And you can tell what the difference is. God's people do not get affected. God's people are not controlled by your anger and your tantrums. And no matter what you do, you can't stir them up. They're different. But distinction also means a mark or sign of special recognition or honor as being different. Now I ask you, if you're still doing things the same way, with the same habits, wanting and doing the same things that are hurting you, then there's no distinction for you, even though you're saved. Now once there's a distinction, once you know there's a difference and you want that difference, then there's deliverance. See, this is what God's saying. First distinction and then deliverance. Deliverance means the state of being freed, rescued, or released. Now, you cannot say that you've been delivered if you say, I can't quit. You can't say that you're freed or delivered if you say, I still have to do that. And I'm so sorry I did that. But I say, brother, you told me that the last time you did it, and the time before, and the time before that. So the problem isn't that you're sorry, although I agree with you, you are sorry. The problem is you're not delivered. Because you're not freed, you're not rescued, and you're not released yet. Deliverance also means to be set free from evil or danger. So now once you have this difference, and then deliverance, then comes redemption. And redemption means buying back. See, you've been pawned. You pawned your soul to the devil. And God bought you back, that's all. Redemption means to buy you back or to release you from sin. To buy back, to get back, and to recover. It means to set free by paying a ransom. See, here's the problem. You are never going to be freed until someone pays the price. Now, here's the problem. You can't pay the price. And even if you could, you don't have anything that God would accept as payment for your sin. So you see, the only way that you can be redeemed is to have Jesus pay the price. But Jesus will not pay the price unless you say what you want him to pay for. See, Jesus isn't going to give you a credit card and say, okay, go ahead. He said, what do you want from me? What do you want me to pay for? Yeah. Well, just give me some money. I just want to go shopping. What do you want? Well, I need some shoes and I need a purse. And I say, well, all right. But do you think I'm going to give a blank check and say, just go spend whatever you want on whatever you want, no matter what it is? Are you insane? Yeah. See, you wouldn't do that with your wives, but you want God to do that with you. Yeah. You just want a credit card. Visa gold, no questions asked. No, God said, I'll pay for it, but what do you want me to pay for? Set free by paying a ransom. Now here's the difficulty. I say, what's wrong, brother? I don't know. I didn't do anything. Well, then what do you want? I want freedom from this. Well, what did you do? I didn't do anything to get that. Well, how did you get? I don't know. So see, you want payment, but for what? See, that's where your redemption falls apart. Redemption also means to deliver from sin and its penalties as by a sacrifice made for the sinner. So see, redemption requires two things, a sinner and a sacrifice. Now we have no problem with Jesus being the sacrifice. Here's where we have a problem. We can't find a sinner. If I could only find the sinner, we'd have it made. Now, we got Jesus every... Oh, Lord, I love you. Yes, we have the sacrifice. And incidentally, we got a lot of sin. You can't find no damn sinners, though. See, there's the whole... See, that's why redemption falls apart. Redemption also means to restore to favor by making amends. So see what God is saying? He says, look, I'm going to put a division between those that serve me and those that serve Pharaoh. And what there's going to be is there's going to be a difference in you. And you're going to be freed from what's wrong in you. And you're going to be freed by someone else paying for what you did wrong. Now, you see, that isn't a principle that's foreign to you. You say, well, how does that work? I'm going to tell you how it works. I go to your home and you say, we have a sin in this house. Well, what happened? Well, we had a big argument. Oh. And do we have a sinner? Oh, yes, brother. I did wrong. I understand. I'm the head of the house, and I did wrong. Well, we got sin, and we got a sinner. Who's the sacrifice? She is. Amen. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You cannot offer God a sinner in sacrifice for another sinner. But you see, you want to blame what's wrong. And you know why? Because you certainly couldn't blame Jesus for what's wrong with you. And you won't blame you for what's wrong with you. So that only leaves Mambo. I mean, this poor little lady, She catches it from all ends. The kids hate her, and so does Dad. Isn't it any wonder that she'll call me and pour out her heart, knowing that I am not going to get angry, upset, and blame her for what's wrong? I will blame what's wrong with you in you, but I won't blame you. Now verse 24. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm. Now God said, there's not going to be any swarms in my people. Now if there's no swarms, then there's no corruption. So now I'm going to ask you if there's swarms in your house, by telling you what corruption means. Corrupt or corrupted means to spoil and to waste. It means to use up or spend without real need, real gain, or real purpose. Now see, your land is corrupted when you go out and buy something to eat that gives you you have no real need for. There is no real need for nicotine from your body. Your body does not have that need. That's not a real need. That's a manufactured need. Your body has no real need for alcohol. Your body has no real need for fat, grease, and cholesterol. There is no nutrition in that. So your body has no real need for that. Your body has no real need for emotion, anger, depression, or any of those other moods and temperaments. So you see, when you use a mood or a temperament, eat a food or drink something without having real need, getting no gain out of it and no purpose, you're corrupted. See, you've been taught like I was that to be corrupted means you're a prostitute down on Broadway or you're a drunken bum who robs banks every weekend, and that's corrupt. And that is corrupt. But we don't happen to have any of those here, so I got to find out what's corrupt about you. And corrupt means to waste. And you can see when, because your land is corrupted, you make mistakes and waste things that you normally wouldn't. People in this room have talent and ability, but you'll find yourself making mistakes and you got to throw things away. You'll find yourself, ladies, burning things or doing something and you got to throw it away. You'll find yourself not being able to get the use out of clothes and things that you had. Your cars won't run right. Things will be wrong. Well, what is happening? You are spending or using up things without real gain. Things just break. You'll borrow things and they'll break and then you got to replace them. You got no real gain out of it. Well, what's the problem? You're corrupted. See, flies only can live off of waste. Now, flies doesn't mean just those physical little ugly bugs that fly around. That's the literal manifestation. But you see, you won't see a fly unless there's some waste. Something has to attract flies. Waste. That's why I tell people, and I tell my own family, waste not, want not. Do not be wasteful. Serve as much as you want, but then eat what you served. Don't throw things away. If you have something in your closet that you're not using because your buns have exploded and they don't fit anymore, find someone that it will fit that can use it, or you're wasting it. You're corrupt. You see, you're using up things without real need. Your closet does not have a need for rags to hang there that you can't use. There's no need, there's no gain, and there's no purpose to that. That is waste. And whenever there's waste in your life, you can bet your life there's going to be flies. And wherever there's flies, there's the Lord of the flies. In fact, there's a movie about that right across the street. They don't know what they're talking about. But do you know what Hebrew word is interpreted as Lord of the flies? Beelzebub, which is another word for the devil, for Satan, the arch enemy of God. So everywhere that there's waste, And it isn't that you waste time. You set the alarm, and then you waste the time between the alarm going off the first time and the 15th time. Now, I don't care when you get up, just don't waste time. If your boss lets you get away with being 5 minutes late, you'll be 7 minutes late. And if seven will fly, then 10 is better. And if 10 doesn't get you in, we'll shoot for 20. Waste, 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 waste. Then you come back and you say, I don't know where the time went. I don't understand. I don't have time to do my work. Why? Because you waste. The flies ate your time. I know how to make the most out of my time. I've learned. And the way I learned how to make the most of my time wasn't because I'm some eminent philosopher. God said, I ain't giving you no time. Can't waste it, because I've always got something to do. One of you is always calling, I'm always, something always to do. And he said, by the way, you get no weekends either. You get no time. Saturday, what's Saturday? You work on Saturday. What's Sunday? That's our big day, brother. And Monday, well, that's wash day again, and here we go again. So you see, I get blessed by 50 weeks a year consecutively, 7 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year, with only relief. There's two things that only give me relief from you. Sleep and golf. And you can only play so much golf. And you don't let me sleep too good because we have two shifts. The late shift that calls me until midnight and the early shift that calls me at 6:30. So see, you guys kind of plan and say, okay, you catch him at night. Yeah, you. What are you working this week? I'm working the late shift. Let him have it. What do you got? Well, I'm on the early shift this morning. I'll get him in the morning. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just telling you that God has said, Reuben, you're going to waste time. The only way I can show you how not to waste time is not give you any. You know, I didn't know the Lord did that to me until just now. But that's okay. He's smarter than I am. He knows what's good for me. Because I would waste it. I would waste it horribly. And any time you waste, you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to have flies. It's a sure sign of waste. Waste also means to lose strength, to lose health, to lose vigor, and to lose flesh as by disease. You see, when you start losing flesh, muscle, you're sick. You're deathly sick. You're wasting. And you look at anyone in the last throes of an addiction of any kind, and you will find them seriously lacking in flesh. They may have a whole lot of blubber, but not much flesh. Or they may not have any blubber or flesh. They may be skin and bones, but in either strength, or in either case, they're losing strength, health, vigor, and flesh. Why? Because of waste. You're using perfectly good money that came as a result of perfectly good labor on your part to ram, jam, or cram something in your body that gives you no gain, you have no need for, and there's no purpose. Wasteful. Corrupted by flies. But it started out with waste. It started out by your parents teaching you. More, and that's a waste to have it. I find someone to give it to. Doesn't matter whether it's stereos, doesn't matter what it is. I find something to give. Now, let me tell you something. I'm more than willing to give you. Why do you steal from me? God's more than willing to give you. Why do you steal from him? It isn't out of a need for the things that you need, because he'd give them to you. It's some perverse desire to steal, for you to be a party in getting for yourself what you need to cut God out of it. When he said, son, I wanted to give you that. I wanted to bless you with those things. And instead, You want to do it in such a way that there's no gain because there's no need and no purpose. And children, you're as bad as anyone. You have no need. What do you get out of saying no to your parents and giving them dirty looks? What does it get you? Does it get you anything that's good? No. Does it teach you something that's going to help you later on? No. Is it something that you can go to school and use and they're going to give you an A for dirty looks? No. So there's no real need, there's no real purpose, and there's no gain. So who are you serving when you do that? The devil? And you're going to regret it. There'll come a day when you will wish to God that you had listened to what I had told you. Verse 24, and the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the houses of Pharaoh. But look who else it comes to, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt, into all of the land of worry, distress, trouble, mental agitation, anger, rebellion. And he said, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. It was ruined. You ruin your life. You ruin your friendships. You ruin everything through waste. And how do you do it? By spending and using what God gave you on things that there's no real need. There's no purpose. There's no gain. Sugar is empty. It does nothing for you. You know what happens when you put sugar in your system? It sucks off all the nutrients and vitamins in your food. It's like a leech. And all it does is it robs the rest of your body of all the what precious little nutrition there is. That's what sugar does for you. Caffeine is the same thing, and so is nicotine. It's like a septic tank. It leaches whatever there is good. It takes it out of your system. So you see, when you put it in, it robs you once. And then once it's in there, whatever else you eat or drink that's good, it robs you of that too. So you see, there is no real need for that. There is no gain, and there is no real purpose behind it. But yet you're totally committed and addicted to it. And why is that? Because the land is corrupted. And why is the land corrupted? Because God said, I put a distinction between my people and your people. And why is there a distinction? Because you didn't listen to my man when I told you, and now I'm having to deal with your habits in order to get you out of this. So now that you realize that everything you touch turns to garbage, turns to waste. Everything you touch breaks. It doesn't work right. And then sometimes you say, well, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm making lots. I'm doing this. And then things break. And if you look, I could sit down with anybody in this room and prove to you that in every case that I'm aware of, every family in here is making more money now than you were last year. And every family, as far as I know, has no more, and in most cases, fewer payments to make than they did last year, but no more. Amen. Yet, some of you are still up the same creek without the same paddle. Every month, it's the same thing. Well, something's wrong. The flies are eating the leftovers, aren't they? You waste. See, it isn't that God isn't giving you. You waste. I'm always looking for ways to save. And not only save by being careful what I buy, but you know how the best way to save is to take everything that you're not using and give it to someone who can use it. Put everything to good use. I would be willing to bet you I could go to any home in this church and find things that you haven't worn, you haven't used, you haven't looked at even for months. But like a rat, you will not turn it loose. And all it's doing is it's taking up space where something you could be using could be. If God gave you a bushel basket and said, I'm going to give you a bushel of whatever you need, but only a bushel full, and in that basket,
and you decide to fill your basket full of dung. Now you got no place to put. Lord says, "Would you? If you get rid of that, then you'd have room for what I want." No, I'd rather keep this. What for? I don't know. She won't get to use it. What do you want that dress for? I don't know. Why don't you give it away? Because it'll only fit so and so, and I hate her. Oh, I see. Well, that's a warm Christian philosophy. I'm sure the Lord is saying, "Oh, child, you bless my heart when you do that."
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Now, if she would get fat and ugly, then I'd give it to her. Well, why then? Because then it wouldn't fit her. Well, how come it doesn't fit you? Because you're fat and ugly, that's why. See, you don't think too good. And you know what really bothers me more than all? You're training your children the same. See, you have the right now. You can do whatever you want. And you're doing what you're doing, and you're suffering and or enjoying what you're doing. You have that right, and I respect that right. But you're not giving the children the same option. You're only teaching them one way, your way. And then you come back and punish them for doing it your way. Now I say that to those of you who are intact as families. This does not include those of you who have pulling division, where there's parents that are separated or divorced, where this parent wants this and that parent wants that. I know you're in a hopeless situation. I know there's nothing you can do about that. To tear the children apart is no good. See, I know, like Solomon knows, that the person who loves the child, and I'm going to say this once, and I hope you get it. There was two women haggling over a child. Two parents, two would-be parents, and one said, "This is my baby," and the other one said, "No, it's mine." So they brought these two women, these two parents, to Solomon for his wisdom as to what are we going to do? They're both claiming the child. And Solomon said, "Take the sword and cut that child in half. Smash it with the sword and cut it right down the middle and kill it. Make it two babies and then give each one half." Now, one of the ladies said, "Yeah, man, do it and give me my half." Knowing that child was going to be killed. The other lady said, "No, don't do that. Let the child live. Let her have it." In other words, she would rather that the child lived. But there are parents, and sad to say, some of them aren't here that I ought to be preaching to, that say, "Kill that sucker. I refuse to let this child go that way or this way. I want him divided. I want him dead." And children, you're the worst ones of all because you buy that burrito. And I'm here to tell you, parents, if you're in that situation, let that child go. Send them away. At least they'll stay in one piece. Don't cut them in half. If the other side wants to slice them and divide it, then let it be. Let them go. And if you have custody and the other side doesn't have that ability, then hang on. Don't turn them loose. Because they want to divide them. They want a little of this and a little of that. They want to kill that child. And children, you're too dumb yet to know the difference. And you don't know that love means willing to give you up so that at least you can live in one piece. You're going to be miserable, but at least you'll be in one piece. Right now you're torn apart, trying to do both. We're not willing to do that anymore. So I'm telling you, and I'm telling you too, I'd rather let you go. As God's children, I'm not going to fight with you anymore. I'd rather let you go. And incidentally, if you need a few bucks to go, let me know. I'll even finance your trip. Just don't move to Timbuktu or China. I mean, you know, be reasonable. Move something. Just move, but not too far. And I'll finance it. Because I would rather that you do that and stay in one piece and die in one piece. And if you're going to die, I would rather that you don't do it around here because it gives us a bad name. Give the Lord a bad name. And we don't want to do that, do we?
No. Yes.
sacrifices we can find,
yes.
Sin we can find.
Yes, sir.
But where, oh, where are all the sinners? You're all perfect. And yet you're corrupted. You use and spend things without real need. See, God has given you the ability to speak wondrous judgments. Things that come out of your mouth becomes law. What a wonderful gift to communicate. And how do you waste it? God damn this and that, no good SOB. Oh, man, that's a waste. That's a waste of the talent that God gave you. Instead of speaking truth and peace and contentment, you speak damnation, and you use even God. God damn this, or God damn that. Well, let me tell you, my God do not damn his children, but I know a God that does. So when you say that, which God are you serving? You're serving the Lord, all right, the Lord of the flies. Because you're corrupt. Children, let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ walked into your home right now and said, child, put those dishes away, you'd put them away. Or would you? Because if your mother or dad tells you the same thing, you say no. Or you do it your way. Not knowing that that's God's representative. That's Jesus' representative. And you're saying no to God. And now I'm telling you what God is saying to you, saying, I love you. And I don't want to divide you anymore. So if you don't want to be with me, then go where you want to be. And you will understand what a horrible mistake you made. And I'm talking little kids, big kids, or anyone's in between. I'm asking you to quit spending and using without real need, without real gain, and without purpose. There is no purpose, there is no gain, and there is no need to be emotional, to be angry, and to be critical. It gains nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It does no good for no one. It's a waste. It's a waste of your time, it's a waste of your effort, and it's a waste of your God-given ability to accomplish things just by speaking them to existence. You waste God's power. It's bad enough you waste everything else. But when you start wasting the power that God gave you by lying and saying you can't, and then by turning around and thinking and believing that the people God put over you are wrong and you're right. Well, the time for fighting is what we've tried. I've given it my best effort. And God is saying now in verse 23, we need to put a division between my people and thy people. Comes time for you to either change or boogie. And it isn't my decision, by the way. But you would think you would be tired of being split in half. And as Solomon, I'm saying to you, my God loves you so much, he would rather say, go and do it until you're fed up, but you're still alive. Maybe you'll come back then. And your God, the devil, is saying, nah, do it and stay. Be divided. Let's split you. Let's kill you. Why you would want to serve that God, I don't understand. And you know that God can come in your mother, your dad. It can come in your best friends. You can recognize it. And I'm telling you now, we're at the point where it's time for division. And I'm telling you, parents, for those that don't want to stay, let them go. And for those that do, let's bless them. Let's take care of them. It's one thing for you to waste God's time and God's money in God's power. It's quite another if I help you do it by wasting perfectly good time that I could be using on people that do want to change by worrying about you. I think it's time for you to understand that this division is here for a purpose. And you know, we got several more plagues to go yet. We're about halfway between now and the firstborn. And it's already heavy, isn't it? And you've seen yourself more than once. But in all of this, you've also seen the love of God and His desire in the final analysis. If serving Him, if being a Christian, if coming to church, if being happy and content and eating right is such a burden to you, and it's dividing you so much, and God's backing off and say, don't kill the child. Don't split him in half. Go eat, go drink, go do whatever you want. And then when you have had enough, if you still have enough life to get back, come on back. If you don't, die where you're at, in the wilderness. We'll see you in heaven. But this fighting is silly. And it isn't that it's silly in and of itself. Up to a point, we must do it. But when God says, put a division, and God has said tonight, put a division, then I'm putting a division. That's it. And I didn't make the division, God did. Now, you better jump one way or the other. You better come through the door, through the gate, which is Jesus Christ, or stay on your own side. But there's no more jumping back and forth. The division is now distinct. And I'm not willing to separate you this way anymore. And whatever tomorrow or next day or 3 days from now, if whoever leaves, I'll pray for you. I love you. And I want you to know something. If you should ever decide, while you're sitting out there living with the pigs and eating with the pigs like the prodigal son, if you ever decide you made a mistake and you want to come back, my heart, my mind, and this church is open to you. And I won't tell you, I told you so. And like the prodigal son, I'll just say, thank God. Once you were dead, and now you live. Maybe you need more pig time. I don't know. If you do, then for God's sake, go get it. And make a decision. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer?